Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, guys. Welcome to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my lasso of truth and my sword of Athena, Randy and Justin. How the hell are you guys doing today? Randy?
I am fantastic, and you can call me the God Killer.
Oh.
Woo-hoo-hoo. How you doing, Justin?
I'm good. You can call me the God Birther. I couldn't think of anything.
1 minute in, we've already derailed.
We've already derailed, and Justin has referred to himself as a vagina.
Yeah, the good kind, not the turkey neck thing.
Right. Woo, wow. Turkey neck, wow. Really?
Whoa. Not roast beef? No, we've gone too far. So, hey, you guys saw Wonder Woman, right?
And how?
Yes.
All right. I've been dreading this question for like the last like week and a half. Randy, what'd you think of Wonder Woman?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved every second of it.
Was it because it was a period piece and you love period pieces?
I'm not going to lie, that was probably 49% of my enjoyment of it, was the fact that it was a period piece set in one of my favorites, rarely used cinematically, periods in time.
Nice. All right. Well, let's get quick thoughts. What about you, Justin? What were your initial impressions?
Yeah, I loved it, man. I walked out of there with a big smile on my face. I probably could have done without all the slow motion shots, but in the end, I thoroughly enjoyed it, Dave.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, I also thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, we have a rare consensus at the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm a little leery, like the internet's going to like burn itself down or something like that. All right, well, let's get a little more nitty gritty, Randy. So, what were some of the pros that you really liked about the Wonder Woman?
I thought it was actually really well cast. I thought all the Amazonian women were genuinely badass, and every single one of them looked like they could kick my ass like with zero effort. Of course, I like the World War I aspect of things. I really like Chris Pine's character. I thought he was pretty amazing, too. And it didn't feel like it was his story at all. So it was like there was never any threat of any man coming in and kind of dethroning Wonder Woman from her story. You know, it never strayed from being her story. And I really definitely enjoyed that.
Nice. What about you, Justin? Oh, sorry.
No, that was it.
Oh. What about you, Justin? Was there what stood out to you as just being so great?
Honestly, I just liked looking at Gal Gadot for like 2 hours. I think she's one of the most beautiful women in the whole wide world.
All right.
That's it. No, I'm kidding. Yes, she is extremely beautiful, though. But I did like the movie. Like Randy, I would say the casting was pretty spot on. But yeah, no, it was good, dude. I like the music. I like the George of the Jungle sort of drum action going on when she's kicking ass. That whole scene when she was running across the front.
No Man's Land?
Yeah, that was cool. Oh, my God. Yeah, I was all into that. I was eating that shit up. So, no. Again, aside from like the 10,000 slow motion shots, I enjoyed it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the No Man's Land was pretty cool because I was worried that, you know, what I really liked about Wonder Woman was that she was the consummate good guy. Like, she was just pure, and she just wanted to help and make things right. And when they were in the trenches, and Steve Trevors was like, we can't help them all, and, like, she was like, well, we got to do something. He's like, oh, we can't save everybody. I'm like, oh, this is the moment where they Zack Snyder us, and, like, now we got to be, like, dark. But she was like, she's like, no, I'm going to do something. And then she just goes out and just guns a-blazing. It was awesome. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah.
I'm sure there will be a lot of parallels to Man of Steel, because that's kind of like the closest story to it. And I think it really shows the difference in style between Patty Jenkins and Zack Snyder when dealing with heroes. Patty Jenkins very much made Wonder Woman a hero, and she didn't try to give her some moody backstory or didn't try to like moody her up. She just let Wonder Woman be Wonder Woman for 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 20 minutes, and it was great. And I'm pretty pumped about the future of the DCEU.
Do you think that the romance was necessary, or like you know, for her to be in love and then dealing with loss and then that ultimately bringing out her powers? Or do you think they could have done that a different way?
I don't mind the way they did it. They definitely probably could have done it a different way. I think that I really like Chris Pine. He's such a charming guy that you kind of have to fall in love with him. But most of my problems stem from the third act, and that's part of it. You know, the kind of the reveal of her or the manifestation of her powers. I just didn't dig I didn't like Lupin as Ares. It seemed like an unnecessary twist at the end. I mean,
spoiler.
Oh yeah. No, talking about Wonder Woman, we're gonna spoil this shit. Yeah. And it's not even a spoiler. It's on IMDb. He's credited as Ares. I didn't even when I wrote a story about it like 2 weeks ago, and IMDb had him as Ares. So I just assumed, oh, I guess it's not a surprise. And then when I went into the movie and they're talking about this other guy being Ares, I'm like, oh. Maybe I wasn't supposed to know that he was Ares.
Even though it was kind of a dead giveaway.
Yeah. And I didn't like that he was just kind of a normal dude when he got the, and they put this armor on, but he still had that like little British mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
So, his facial hair has to evolve with the times, you know?
Yeah.
It was very fashionable in 1918.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess it kind of segues into where we think Wonder Woman to go in the future. Obviously, you know, made $103 million opening weekend. You know, it's got great word of mouth, great praise. There will be a sequel. Randy, do you think they set the sequel in a past time, or do you think they bring it back to the present with, like, Justice League?
Well, with the bookends that they did for this movie, setting it in the present time, I think they don't need to do any more period pieces. I think you can jump right ahead to the present time. And then if they want to do additional standalone movies later on, above and beyond Justice League, if they want to go back, then they always can. They can go in and fill in the gaps. But if they do go back and do another period piece right away, the next logical choice, I would think, would be World War II. They've already, by just setting it 20 years or 30 years earlier, they've differentiated it plenty enough from Captain America. So if they did have her now progress into World War II, it'd be fun to see her kick some Nazi ass after killing so many other Germans. But that's another thing about this movie. She is not afraid to kill people in this movie.
No, she's not. She's a naughty girl.
The only thing, though, is that if she were involved in World War II, I would think there would be more information about Wonder Woman. And according to Batman v Superman, she's a mystery. You know what I mean? So I would think that she lies dormant for a long time.
It kind of fades away into obscurity.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Or goes back to Thermoscura and like maybe completes her training.
She is not welcome back.
Oh, I'm sure they'll
If she leaves, she is never allowed to return.
She's like, oh yeah, well, I killed Ares. I can come back when the fuck I want.
Yeah. I own this place. I own this town.
Yeah, I think for Wonder Woman 2, I think they'll set it in the same time frame as, you know, Batman v Superman / Justice League. I think that if they had any illusion to keep it period piece, I don't think they would have killed Chris Pine's character. I think they would have kept him around, and now there's like no loose ends. You know, she can go about her business, and when she shows up, we don't have to worry about, you know, some old crotchety dude coming around because he'd be 120. At first, I was wondering why they didn't set it in World War II, because the whole point of, like, you know, as people who have lived past that time frame, we realized that World War I was not the war to end all wars, and that there was a big war. But I think they kind of played it nicely to where they almost made, like, humanity the villain in this film. In that, you know, this whole movie, they're hunting Ares because they think Ares is going to be the one that stops all these wars. And then when they get there, they realize that Ares isn't the one that made them do what they're doing. That it's man that is evil. So.
Mm-hmm. Is she immortal? Or does she just have long life? Because she's a demigod of sorts.
I think she's like Ares, like she can be killed, but I think that she'll somehow age.
Age in doesn't slow her down.
In the beach invasion at the beginning, she has a big old bloody scratch on her arm, and then whoever's tending to her afterwards, they take the bandage off and see that it's all healed. And that's where you find out that she heals faster than the other Amazonians. So there is something different about her.
Right.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when the Amazonians got shot and they died. I'm like, oh, I thought they're made of tougher stuff.
Hmm. Maybe only outside of that Themyscira bubble.
Right. And she's not really one of them. She's different.
Yeah.
She's made from clay. The good stuff.
God-killing clay.
The expensive stuff. Yeah.
None of that.
She's the daughter of Zeus.
All right, I was just curious. I wasn't sure what her deal was, because she obviously doesn't look like she aged a day from World War I to whenever the hell Batman v Superman is supposed to take place.
Yeah, like 2014, I think. So I mean, it's almost 100 years from World War I. Yeah, I watched Man of Steel and Batman v Superman before, or actually, it was after I saw Wonder Woman, but just to kind of like get an idea. And it was interested. I was interested in the parental rearing of the heroes, just because the Kents. Rewatching it, I don't know where Superman gets his moral compass, because the Kents are all like, "Save the world, don't save the world, whatever. Hide your powers, don't let anyone know." To where, you know, he's supposed to become this big Boy Scout, and then in Wonder Woman we have her mother who's trying to protect her. Don't train her, don't train her, don't train her. And then finally she gets to the point where she's like, well, if you're going to train her, man, make her the biggest badass ever and don't go easy on her. So I just really like what Patty Jenkins did with, like, all these characters are like interesting. Like all of the Amazonians that we got to deal with are interesting. You know, obviously Steve Trevors is interesting. You know, even the sidekicks that go on the missions with them, you know, They have these short little scenes with, like, the one guy who wants to be an actor, but he says he can't because he's the wrong color. And the sniper guy who's, like, a big talker, but then, like, cried himself when, like, the battle started. And, you know, Diana had to say, you have to come with us. Who's going to sing to us and stuff like that? Like, she's had these, like, beautiful moments with these, like, just total ancillary side characters that, you know, wouldn't get a second thought in most of the superhero movies. And I really liked that.
I feel like, okay, the sniper guy, Ewan Bremner. Mm-hmm. I am convinced he is the Steve Buscemi of the UK. Like, he's just a odd-looking fella. This little guy, kind of funny-looking. Yeah. But to bring your point across about the Kents, I think Jonathan Kent, at least in Man of Steel, he is aware of the horrors that exist in mankind, and I think that being a simple farmer, he is aware that there are worse things in this world other than aliens, and that is man. And I think he was genuinely afraid for his son to be exposed, and that's why he said, you know, don't bother them. Don't reveal your powers.
Yeah, it totally makes all the sense in the world. I just don't know where, from, if you're going to portray Jonathan Kent in that way, which is totally fine, where does Superman get his moral compass if not from his dad, who's basically telling him through his actions that humanity is terrible, they won't accept you, they're gonna cast you out, you know, let the bus drown.
Well, I think, you know, that's because he put himself in humanity's shoes and he started to live amongst them, and he feels differently. That's one of those, you know, maybe my father was not correct in this.
My old man's full of shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, no, and then his mom feels the same way. Remember, she's like, you don't know this world a damn thing. It's like,
right.
Okay. Just trying to save everybody. No big deal. Yeah.
Now, do you think that, you know, since Superman has been kind of tepid in the DCEU and Batman hasn't really got his foot off the ground, do you think that they will, you know, because Captain America is kind of the center of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, Iron Man got it started, and he was probably the most popular, but he's kind of like the moral center of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Do you think, Justin, that they're going to build the DCEU around Wonder Woman now, or do you think they're still going to try to create it around Batman or Superman?
I don't know, man. I don't know the end. I feel like Batman's always going to be the face of DC, at least in the movies. I feel like he's your big draw. I mean, as amazing as Wonder Woman is, I think she might be the moral compass, as you say, but I think Batman's their moneymaker.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Randy, so now we know Joss Whedon's doing a bunch of reshoots on Justice League. Do you think these reshoots have anything to do with DC seeing the footage months ago and saying, hey, we got a winner on our hand, let's put more Wonder Woman in this Justice League movie?
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. I know I saw this great meme earlier this week, and it's basically an image of Wonder Woman carrying Batman over one shoulder and Superman over. Don't worry, guys, I got this. And that really kind of feels like the state of the DC cinematic universe right now. So that being the case, I mean, yeah, they're going to hedge their bets on Wonder Woman. So if that means inserting her more into Justice League, just because it's what is tried and true and we know the audience wants to see, I think it's a good strategy. And I, for one, am all about seeing more of her. And this is coming from a guy who still has not yet seen BVS, so I didn't see her little role in that.
Which was amazing, by the way. She was great. But in the trailer, in the first couple trailers that we got, there was a lot of Bruce Wayne and Wonder Woman screen time. Like, they had some pretty amazing magic on screen in those trailers, and it was pretty fun. So the more the merrier.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Randy, if I were you, I would just go to YouTube and watch the fight between Batman and Superman. It's like probably 10 minutes, and then watch the final fight with Doomsday, just so you can see the Wonder Woman stuff, because the Wonder Woman stuff's pretty cool. So save yourself 2 hours and just watch the 20 minutes of stuff on YouTube.
Sounds like good advice.
Or watch the extended edition. It's a whole 40 minutes longer.
Mighty tempting.
it's definitely not. Speaking of Pa Kent, he's in like a vision quest with Superman. Superman goes to like top of a mountain and hallucinates and sees his dad, and his dad talks about murdering all these horses. It's a doozy of a scene. Oh man, fucking Zack Snyder. But yeah, so Wonder Woman, we all loved it. I would probably give it an A-. What would you give it, Justin?
Yeah, I'd say A- is fair.
Randy?
I'd give a solid A.
All right. So Patty Jenkins, who directed the first one and who's receiving most of the accolades for the success of the film, Gal Gadot is also getting quite a bit of much-deserved praise. Patty Jenkins was originally thought to have already been on board for Wonder Woman 2, but Hollywood Reporter is reporting that she is not, in fact, on board, and they are in aggressive negotiations to get her back for Part 2, so she may get a sizable pay increase. And during the press tour, some of the Amazonians, like Robin Wright, Connie Nielsen, is that who it was? And it doesn't matter.
Glenn Close.
They had made reference that the Amazons will make an appearance in Justice League, which I think was kind of a surprise. So I think that's pretty good. Would you be interested in seeing more Amazonians, Randy?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like I said, they're a bunch of intimidating badass ladies, and somehow I'm frightened yet turned on.
What about you, Justin? Are you both frightened and turned on, or are you just mostly one of the other?
Yes.
Frightened into arousal.
Ooh, yeah. That's the best kind of arousal.
I like the tough women's.
All right, well, that's Wonder Woman for you. I think it's kind of rejiggered everything at Warner Brothers for the DC expanded universe. They came out and they said that they were kind of putting the DCEU on hold until they get the reaction from the Justice League. Now, that doesn't mean they won't make films afterwards. They just, I think, want to see how we receive Justice League and then make plans accordingly, you know, go one way or the other. And I think it's a good move because, you know, we've always accused them of being reactionary and just like they see A and they have to go after A. They see B, they go after B, to where now they're just kind of like, let's take a breath. Let's see where we land and go forward. So Justin, how does that make you feel? Does that give you more confidence in the DCU that maybe they're starting to figure shit out?
It does.
I mean,
I don't know. I feel like if you have a plan, I guess it needs to evolve. I don't know. I'm so just fucking flabbergasted with how the way DCEU has worked over the course of the last few years. But I don't know. I think it's just one of those things where it's just a good idea to just take a back seat and just chill out for a second and figure out where your head is at and then go from there.
So
yes, I agree. It's a good move.
I think it's a good move, but I think it's Warner Brothers falling back into form because it is kind of. I just lost my train of thought. Sorry.
It's all right. It's Warner Brothers falling back into form.
Yeah. No, it's not going to revive it. But no, what did you just say before Justin talked? I had it in my head, then it flittered away.
We're talking about how they're so reactionary. They're going after
reactionary. That's the word I was like looking for. Thank you so much. I swear I don't even like have the benefit of doing drugs or anything fun like that. My memory is just really shitty.
You're gonna lose it again.
I know. But no, this is Warner Brothers and DC being reactionary, though, don't you think? By saying no, we're gonna sit there and wait for a reaction from Justice League before we do anything. That is literally the definition of them being reactionary.
I think it's necessary, though.
It's necessary, but I mean, you can't call them out for being reactionary and then in the same breath say, "Well, but this is the best thing for them to do."
Right, I agree, but I feel like they are such a mess all the time that they're constantly making changes to something that was a great idea on paper, and then it might even test well, and then they change their mind and go a different route. It's been that
Suicide
way.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it's a perfect example. And even fucking go all the way back to Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. It's a bunch of weirdos that are behind the scenes, these puppet masters that have no idea what makes these characters amazing, and it changes everything.
Yeah, how do you screw up a movie that's Batman fighting Superman?
Right.
Like that's not a hard sell.
I don't know, it just seems weird. And then bringing in Geoff Johns, you know, I could argue all day long that he can write some amazing comic books, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he knows how to make a good movie. When you have all these issues to spread out your story and then you got to find a way to cram it into 2 hours, it might fall short.
Right, and plus, like we've talked about a couple times in the past, most long-term comic book arcs end up like just totally letting you down in the end.
They do. And that has been the ongoing problem with the third act of every single comic book movie that has been made for the last 10 years.
Yeah, including Wonder Woman.
Including especially Wonder Woman.
Yeah, no, I mean those are all excellent points.
Even the very first Iron Man, our favorite of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the third act is a little weird with Jeff Bridges getting in a machine and being a better fucking pilot than Stark, who's been flying around and perfecting his thing since he got back. That's so weird.
The Iron Monger.
Whatever. It's still stupid. I don't know.
And it's not even like, and it's like pieces from the one Tony Stark built, like, and his like lackeys assembled it. So in theory, it should be vastly inferior.
Yes, true.
But he's like Obadiah something.
Yeah,
never trust anyone named Obadiah. Yeah. Yeah,
or with the last name Stain. I mean, come on.
How do you not know?
Stain. Rubble.
Well, you talked about. You know, we talked about, you know, having a clear path and kind of seeing your story through. Did you guys see the Star Wars comments that they had not planned post Episode 7 before Episode 7 was released? Had you guys seen this? Have you heard this? Have you seen this?
I saw that, and I am not at all surprised. I mean, on one hand, I'm not at all surprised. On the other hand, I'm flabbergasted going, come on, they're relaunching, like, arguably the biggest franchise in the world ever, and they don't have a fucking roadmap? I find that hard to believe. But,
let me give you an example, Randy, of a great franchise that was not plotted out. The original trilogy.
No,
George Lucas had no idea what he was doing after flying. But now let me tell you a franchise that was planned out. The prequels.
Right. No, I get it. I get it. But honestly, though, do you think they would have? Do you think they would have avoided putting the big three together, only to kill off Han Solo, and never have that opportunity again, and then to have Carrie Fisher die in real life? Do you honestly think that if they had planned it out, don't you think they would have at some point brought the three together on screen before letting them go their own separate ways? Obviously, we have no control over Carrie Fisher. But I don't know. It just seems to me that they would have done a little bit more fan service had they thought it through properly. It almost feels like The Force Awakens was rushed. Like they found a draft of A New Hope and just rewrote it. They did another draft.
Changed the name.
I think that when all 9 movies are out, I think that Abrams will become the new whipping boy replacing George Lucas. And I think he set a lot of stuff in motion that is not going to age well. Like, it's great, you know, in the moment, everything was great because, oh shit, Star Wars is back. Oh, look, we got Han Solo, we got Kylo Ren. Oh shit, Han Solo died. It's so sad. But I think that distance is not going to make Force Awakens better. And I think that once we see episode 8 and episode 9, and we keep hearing all of these things from Rian Johnson that, like, stuff Abrams did painted him into a corner. You know, we have Mark Hamill bitching that, like, Abrams and Rian Johnson have no idea who Luke Skywalker is. And, like, I think that what they're doing with the new cast is great. Rey, Finn, Poe, Kylo. I know you guys aren't a big Kylo fan. I think that's great. I think they have a fundamental disunderstanding of what made the original trilogy great. And, of course, I haven't seen 8 yet, so I could bite my words, you know. But when Mark Hamill comes out and says, you know, Rian Johnson doesn't know what he's doing for Luke Skywalker, and then, you know, steps it back, you know, a year later, that just tells me that, you know, he's doing damage control. So am I misreading that, Justin? Do you think...
Not at all. It just shakes me to my core. And Mark Hamill has always been outspoken about what he thinks is right or wrong when it comes to shit like this. So I just think that he did probably do the right thing by doing some sort of damage control, because we all try and be professional, and why burn bridges and why harp down on somebody like that. But it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I couldn't stop fucking complaining about episode 7 when I walked out of the theater. And so, I mean, one of the first things that we said was that in what galaxy would Luke Skywalker get away from all this nonsense? So, I mean, they obviously have their reasons. I just don't agree with them. And I don't even know what they are. And I can tell you right now, I don't agree with them.
Well, plus Mark Hamill always speaks from, he always seems to speak from the side of the fans. And, like, right. Every time he's spoken up, it's never been something like we would disagree with. Like, he said that, like, he thinks that Abrams missed a pretty big opportunity to reunite the big three before killing one of them off. And, you know, he's absolutely right. So I have no doubt to believe he's not absolutely right this time. And if they fuck up Luke Skywalker, I'm going to be second in line with a pitchfork and my axe next to right behind Justin to burn Disney to the ground.
Okay, so Randy mentioned that perhaps episode 7 was rushed. And it was January 26th when J.J. Abrams was confirmed to direct episode 7. And then the movie came out in December of 2015, not less than 2 years later. So, and that also had some rewrites too, right?
They basically shot the movie twice.
Yeah. So
what the rumors coming out are.
Yes. So, yeah, that tells you right there that they had no idea what the fuck they were doing. They just knew they wanted more Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of my big gripes coming out of The Force Awakens, I don't want to turn this into a fuck Force Awakens podcast, but
that's what we do.
Was that it seemed like Abrams either wanted to put his stamp heavily on the Star Wars universe, or he wanted to completely shit on established canon. And I'm not bitching about the end of Return of the Jedi anymore. I bitched about that to the end. Return of the Jedi has a perfect ending, and everything in The Force Awakens makes none of that matter. It's all bullshit. All our happy feelings from our childhood are moot. But he had to move the government from Coruscant to Hosnian Prime. You know, little things like this. You know, we have we had to go to this other desert planet instead of creating a different topographical planet. He just did all of these things just like slightly different, and it almost seemed like it was like, fuck you, Star Wars fan, I'm going to do it my way, just a little different, just sideways a bit. And there's so much of The Force Awakens that just kind of irks me, just from just like, you know, like he named Kylo Ren Ben, you know, and I get it, Obi-Wan Kenobi, whatever, but, you know, Han and Leia didn't really have much to do with Ben, you know, Ben's not visiting them in the night, and so I don't know why they just couldn't name the kid Jason. It would have been a nice little nod, but Ben just seemed off kilter, so might just be an asshole, Randy.
Always.
Yeah, that's true. Like, the Force will be with you.
Why is his name, if his name is Obi-Wan Kenobi, where does Ben come from?
In the expanded universe, which no longer exists, it was his nickname from like his brother or something like that.
Oh.
Like it was a nickname like someone in his family had given him.
Oh.
But you know, that's no longer canon. Which is what's leading to the boycott. Have you guys heard about the boycott of Episode 8?
What?
No. We're boycotting Episode 8. Do you guys know that?
No. Who's boycotting it?
Assholes. I don't know. Dummies. I guess people upset that they should can the expanded universe, that they should can 2.5 years and 2 movies ago.
Yeah, that's
now they're
weird.
Boycotting.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, boycotts
yes.
Rarely do.
I know. I don't boycott. I boycott. I just get it all.
Like, including Episode 8.
Yeah, I'm gonna go see it, and I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised. I hope it's all a ruse.
I'm going to be thrilled. I know. They're going to give me plenty of Kylo Ren and Luke Skywalker, and that's all I care about.
Yeah. What do we got? Speaking of just being mad at the world, what is this in the notes where I see Game of Thrones might skip a year? Can you explain this to me?
Sure. Rumor in the pipeline is that for a couple of reasons, you know, people are speculating everything ranging from the prequel series interfering all the way to them waiting for George R. R. Martin to write some more stuff. And including, I had a hiccup there. Including people saying that just from a production standpoint, Game of Thrones may not come back in 2018. It may skip a year and go Soprano style and come back in 2019. And I guess Weiss and Benioff are still in the process of plotting out the scripts, which is what they do before they write the scripts. Which obviously, once they're written, then they have to do location scouting and yada yada yada. So this may not, they might not see production until 2018, and at which case, you know, there's no way we're going to see episodes in 2018. We wouldn't have see them until 2019. Justin, how much does this piss you off?
It makes me so mad. I don't like
more
it at all.
More than Episode 8?
Yeah, it frustrates me because I want to see the end of this series. I don't want, I mean, just the idea of how, like, it's quite possible that an actor or actress might not make it to the end of this in real life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have another Carrie Fisher situation. I like all of these characters. I want to see their endings the way that they're supposed to be, and I don't want mortality fucking with anything. So the sooner they get this shit over with, the better I will be. Does that make sense?
It makes 100% sense. I feel you. Now, Randy, we already know that we're getting fucked because we're getting 2 short seasons that are 1 full length or maybe even slightly longer season. Is this just like double pissing on you? Like, hey, we're going to give you 2 short seasons. Oh, and the last season? Yeah, you're not getting it right away.
It's just a way to, well, yeah, it's just prolonging the inevitable. We just want to get it done, get it over with so we can move on, maybe go on to whatever prequel series they're going to go with next. But this is just a way to keep it, I think, in a top of mind for public.
So you think they're expanding it out so that they have a shorter gap in between Game of Thrones and the prequel series?
I think that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
I think they're banking
on...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're talking about, like, yeah, for this season, it's understandable that they had to come out later because they did have to wait till winter to shoot so they could have it all snowy and everything for everything they need. Well, now that they've established this shooting schedule to where they're optimized during the winter months, why not continue to do that and have that ready to go for the final season? You know, why does it take... I mean, does it take 2 winters to get enough footage for that final season? Is that what they're pushing for? It's like, sure, we've stretched it out an additional 6 months from when it usually drops. Just stick with that, you know. Go a year from July or whatever, and don't make us wait a whole additional year.
Dragons are tropical beasts. They need extra time.
I'm a tropical beast.
You are. I think that HBO is just banking on people not canceling their subscriptions. They're like with Sopranos, we had to do the same thing. We had half seasons with Sopranos, and it was a year and a half gap in between seasons, and I didn't cancel my HBO. I just continued to subscribe while I waited. And I bet you a dollar USD that they feel the exact same way about this show. They can say all that they want about fucking production values and timing and blah, 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 but really, they're just stretching out the length of the subscription.
Yeah. Well, you're a video game guy, Justin, so now with Sopranos, they delayed it, and so the anticipation was even built higher than was already built, and it was a pretty disappointing season. Is this a scenario when a game gets delayed because, you know, I know you and Steven on the podcast are a big proponent of don't release the game till it's ready, and you don't mind delays as long as the game's going to be good. When something gets delayed, does it heighten the expectation, and does it create unrealistic goals?
I think with video games it can, but with things like a television series like Game of Thrones, where, you know, this isn't their first rodeo. This is whatever they're is this going to be their seventh season? It's their seventh season, right?
Seventh season coming up.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They're not slackers. They should have this shit down. They have multiple crews and several locations, and they could have. I am willing to bet that this shit has been done and ready and on the floor, ready for us to watch months ago. I think it's just HBO programming being HBO programming, and it's a timing thing. You know, they have shows coming and going, some are ending, and they need to make it the most positive experience they can for their subscribers. You can't have a bunch of lull months. Leftovers just finished. Fucking Silicon Valley is going to be done with their season, right, when this shit airs. So they just need shows on. That's why they delayed it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with, dude, there's not enough snow on the ground for us to be able to shoot.
You got a computer that can make snow? I can make snow on my computer.
Yeah, you can make a flying dragon, but you can't make snow? Eat a fat dick. I don't believe this at all.
It's for realism.
Yeah.
Realism with your dragons and zombies.
Yeah, and giant 700-foot glacier walls. Fucking assholes.
They are assholes. Well, let's go to a different TV show.
Yes.
You guys watch any House of Cards yet?
Yeah, I finished it.
What about you, Randy?
I haven't touched it yet.
Oh, motherfucker, I finished it too. We'll give spoilers, but were you excited for the season, Justin?
I think it was better than the last two.
I'm going to tune out for the next couple of minutes just to make sure I do avoid spoilers.
So I did enjoy this season. You know, the show launched on the 30th, and by June 1st, I was finished. So nice. I plowed through pretty quickly. I thought it was good. Definitely better than the last two. And I wasn't quite prepared for the cliffhanger that we were given.
Yes. I won't spoil it because it's a lot of people still haven't watched it yet, but I am a huge fan of Miss Robin Wright, and I've always been a Claire supporter, and I was glad to see where the show left her, so I was pretty excited. So.
Yeah, good shit.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I think Randy left.
We'll get back.
Well, it's safe.
I'm back.
Okay.
All right. And then fucking Frank Underwood died? I can't believe
this. What an
asshole. You dick.
I'm just fucking with you. It's good, Randy. You're going to like it a lot. You know who I know who you love personally, though, Randy, is your big Dan Aykroyd lover. Are you excited that he's being a total fucking crazy old person and bitching about Ghostbusters?
No, I hadn't heard about that. What did he say?
Oh, well, let me just read you a little nonsense. He's been calling out Mr. Paul Feig for quite a while. He said, the girls are great in it. Kate McKinnon, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig. What a wonderful, wonderful players there. Oh, and Leslie Jones. I am really happy with the movie, but it costs too much, and Sony does not like to lose money. It made a lot of money around the world, but it just costs too much, making it economically not feasible to do another one. So that's too bad. The director, didn't even say his name, he spent too much on it. He didn't shoot scenes we suggested to him, several scenes that were going to be needed, and he said, no, we don't need them. And then we tested the movie, and they needed him to go back. About $30 to $40 million for reshoots. So yeah, he will not be back to Sony on the Sony lot anytime soon. And
was he referring to himself not being back on the Sony lot, or was
he's referring to Paul Feig?
Oh,
which
shit.
Is not true, because Paul Feig is currently directing two movies for Sony. But and then he doubled down about a day later, just basically continuing the rhetoric. Sony came out and said, no, the reshoots cost $3 to $4 million, you know, and that Crazy Aykroyd had added, inflated it. And then he said, oh, I was just upset that the spirit wasn't there with the originators, that there wasn't enough of the original cast, to which I say arguably the single worst part in the entire movie is Dan Aykroyd's cameo. And all of this would normally just be like, you know, someone just shouting at the clouds as they go by. But Dan Aykroyd spent like, when Ghostbusters came out, Dan Aykroyd was talking about what a great movie it was, and how it's the best one, and how it's just like the original, and how great it is. And now he's being an old man fucking talking, and I feel it's a Canadian asshole. Justin.
Well,
oh, sorry. Randy.
Don't you think they probably paid him to say all those nice things about it? Because the biggest thing among the fans was, we love the original, we don't need this. And it seemed like they wanted to have, look, the originator of the original material, he's giving it the sign-off. Don't you think they paid him off to probably talk about how good it was initially?
Your defense of him as being a man of the fans is that he took money to lie to the fans?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I have no doubt that that's what happened. I'm just saying, doesn't it make him a hypocrite?
Oh, of course. Yeah, but he's an old man shaking his fist at the clouds, like you said, you know? Come on. honestly, I don't know. I don't think anything in his eyes would have done the original justice, because he holds it in such high regard. You know, he loves it. And to hear the public shit on it after so many years of adulation and, you know, just being in the hearts of people, I think it's just hard for him to take, because it really is his baby.
Now, Justin, do you think this is just him being pissed off because Sony wouldn't make his Ghostbusters, because Bill Murray said his Ghostbusters he didn't want to be a part of, and now it's just kind of like spilled grapes?
Maybe. that seems fair. I feel like that's shallow, but, I mean, not that I know Dan Aykroyd is the type of person that he is, but when I read it, I thought it was a little absurd for him to shit all over a franchise that, you know, he was such a big part of.
Right. Hey. And to blatantly call out such a successful director when Dan Aykroyd's last film he directed was 1981's Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah. Which is an awful movie. Yeah. I never understood why these guys that work together, this community, can just sort of just step over that barrier of being professional and just shit on each other's work. Makes no sense to me. Not every movie's going to be a hit, and sometimes it's nobody's fault, and that's just the way it is, man.
And it's weird timing. Ghostbusters came out a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the necessity in this landscape to shift blame onto somebody else so it doesn't hurt your career so you can continue working, but the time for that was last July.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, while we're talking about Dan Aykroyd, did you hear what else he's up to in the near future?
Is it vodka? Crystal Skull vodka?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's living in the bottom of that bottle every day. But no. Okay, well, first and foremost, I'm not going to bury the lead. Did you hear that Rick Moranis is going to return to acting?
No, but I'm excited that he is.
Okay, so it's not going to be how we want it, though, unfortunately.
Brother Bear?
No. It's not going to be in the form of, like, the voice of an animated thing or any kind of movie at all. It's actually going to be something that happens on stage. So he and Dave Thomas are going to be returning as Bob and Doug McKenzie.
What? The founder of Wendy's?
Not the founder of Wendy's, the other
Strange
one.
Brew.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
They're reprising their roles, and they're going to be doing, I think it's just a one-night performance, and what they're doing is trying to raise money. I believe it's for Dave Thomas's kid or his nephew or something that has some sort of spinal cord injury, and they're doing all this to raise money. So Rick Moranis is kind of temporarily coming out of retirement to do this thing, but they've got Dan Aykroyd is going to be there performing, and fucking Martin Short and a bunch of the old SCTV gang are all getting together. All the kids in the hall are reuniting. It's like a whole big Canadian relief effort kind of thing going on.
Cool.
And that's happening, I want to say...
I hope they film that.
I hope they... I'm sure they must, because they could make bank just making kind of almost like a concert film out of it. But, as far as I know, it's only a one-night performance, and I want to say it's in September. I don't have the date in front of me, but it's really cool. I just heard about it this morning, and I heard Dan Aykroyd is going to be involved, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of fun. That's like the first fun thing that I've heard that he's been involved in any time recently. But of course, the biggest news point is the fact that Rick Moranis is kind of peeking his head out from under the rock that he's been under for the last 20 years. And I hope this opens a door to him actually returning to being in films eventually.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, Catherine O'Hare is going to be in it. Eugene Levy. Kids in the Hall. The great great white North talk show on stage. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Maybe they'll do like a Fathom events, you know, like those one night.
Oh yeah, things. Go see.
I'd actually go to. And I'm like, who goes to these things?
Who wants to go like listen to opera singers in a movie theater?
Not me.
It's gonna be in July.
July.
Cool.
Yeah, in Toronto. I figured it was gonna be somewhere in Canada.
Yeah.
Road trip, guys. Did we talk about on the show about why Rick Moranis retired?
Wasn't his daughter sick or something like that? He needed to, or his wife, or he needed to be a stay-at-home dad is what it came down to, right?
Yeah, his wife passed away, and he wanted to be a stay-at-home dad for his two kids.
Oh.
So not only is he an amazingly talented guy, he's also a good dude. So whatever Rick Moranis wants to do, I support. As long as it's not bitching about Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Lewis.
He'd probably bitch about Top Gun Maverick.
And you shouldn't do your own taxes.
You shouldn't do your own taxes.
I know you do your own taxes. You really shouldn't do that.
Okay, your TV is on real loud, and I tried to get out, and I couldn't turn it off. So you know what I did? So I just turned my TV up real loud, too.
Let them think there's something wrong. Oh, so stupid. Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, man, my favorite line in all of cinema when I was a kid was, okay, who brought the dog? For whatever reason, I would just laugh every time I heard it. And as an adult, I'm like, that's not very funny.
I like, have some. I always like that part, too.
say that a lot.
Oh, man, we went up to the river to take my mom whitewater rafting because she wanted to do that, kind of like a bucket list thing. She's probably going to die. I'll be sad. And so we brought up some movies. We brought Back to the Future, and my kids had not seen it. And so I was laughing at the weirdest parts, like, say hi to your mom for me. I'm like just laughing. My mom's looking at me like I'm a crazy person. Anyways, now my kids won't stop saying damn. Damn.
Damn, damn, damn.
Looking at their fake watches. But for the third time, Top Gun, Maverick.
Sorry, I always just... Fucking Rick Moranis, he's so funny, dude. I couldn't stop thinking about the many shows and Zools knew what it was to be roasted in the depths of a floor that day, I can tell you. He's like completely out of breath. Anywho, one more time. Top Gun, Maverick.
Top Gun, Maverick.
What's he been up to all these years? Get him out of a classroom and back into a fighter jet. There's a story.
Yeah, Joe Kaczynski, who directed Tom Cruise in Oblivion and who directed the Geek Legacy-inspired Tron Legacy, talks to direct the film. Tom Cruise and Val Kilmer are confirmed to be returning, and it's rumored that the film will focus on the phasing out of dogfighting. You know, now it's all about drones and shit like that, to where they'll probably be like the last of the, this might be like the last of the Top Gun class, because, you know,
drones are better.
Dog, yeah, drones was are it, better, less expensive.
Wasn't there already a movie with like Jessica Biel and a drone jet?
Are you talking about Stealth with Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, that's it.
Basically,
I love how you knew that.
It's basically Short Circuit if instead of cute robots, they were fighter jets.
How funny.
I know your body, dude.
You do. I'm impressed.
It wasn't like Disclosure, but it was close.
Yeah.
I like Tom Cruise enough, I guess. And first Top Gun was cool. Randy, you excited for a sequel to Top Gun? Do you need it?
I don't feel like I need it.
You need it?
I really don't feel like I need it. But, I mean, Tom Cruise does kind of... I don't want to say he turns everything he's in to gold. That wouldn't be true, but he does seem to have a pretty good box office streak. So I'm gonna give it a whirl. Yeah.
All right, Justin, are you as moderately enthusiastic as Randy?
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to see these two on screen again. You know, it was revealed not too long ago that Val Kilmer had cancer. He had throat cancer like fucking Michael Douglas. Yeah.
He said he got it with the same reason.
And
that's terrible.
I'm not even making it up.
We're going down on Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Well, okay, maybe on a different person. I hope. I don't know. You know, he didn't specify the person.
Yes. Anywho, that's a long road to recovery, and it would be unfortunate if this movie goes forward without Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
He had done an Instagram with him with Val Kilmer wearing a shirt that says "Cool as Ice," and it said "I'm ready, Tom." After they made the announcement that, you know, this was really going to happen, and it's called Top Gun Maverick, he's like, "I'm ready, Tom. Let's do this." And it was him wearing his "Cool as Ice" shirt, just pretty rad.
I am definitely game. I like Val Kilmer a lot. He's been, it's so funny, like, if you go to, like, his filmography, like, the first, like, 15 credits are like, oh, wow, that's great, and then it's just, like, a slew of shit. Like, you know, it's got Top Secret, Real Genius, Top Gun, Willow, The Doors, The Real McCoy, Tombstone, True Romance, and The Batman Forever, then Heat, and then it goes, like, Island of Dr. Moreau, The Ghost in the Darkness, The Saint, Prince of Egypt, At First Sight, Red Planet.
I liked Ghost in the Darkness.
Jaws with paws.
When the lion eats his wife when she gets off the train, I was like, oh, holy shit. Dream. Yeah, I was blown away. I was like, oh my god, that just happened. I like totally freaked out. On his Instagram page, it says, friends said it's official. Top Gun 2 was announced today. I'm ready, Tom. Still got my Top Gun plaque. Still got the moves. Still got it. That's pretty cool that he's excited about it.
I like it. He was also in that movie, Twixt, that Francis Ford Coppola directed.
Is that the one where he's blind and the girl helps him see again?
No, that's... I know what you're talking about.
Twixt 2.
What's her name? The girl now. Is it Blind Horizon? No, that doesn't sound right.
As good as
At First Sight. At First Sight.
Oh, yeah.
That for saying. Who's the girl?
Mira
Sorvino?
Who is it?
It is Mira Sorvino. All
right, she's pretty.
He's blind, right?
Yes.
The one blind?
And then she donates her eyes so he can see.
Nope. That's not it. Well, Kyle McGillis is in it.
Ugh.
He was in MacGruber.
That's true.
He plays Dieter von Kunt.
And he was the voice of Kit in the Knight Rider reboot.
Yeah, but only the TV movie part. Right. When it went to series, it was Batman, Lego Batman.
It's like Michael
Dorn. Will Arnett.
Michael Dorn.
Will Arnett. Saying it multiple times doesn't make it any more correct.
Michael Dorn is Prometheus in Arrow. I'm sitting there listening to his voice, and I'm like, Captain. and it hit me. I don't even know where it came from. I just yelled, Captain. And I'm like, fucking Michael Dorn. It was amazing.
Are you, I know you're watching them. Are you enjoying Flash and Arrow? Or?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I get so mad about the hacking. The hacking skills between these two parties, that being Arrow, Team Arrow and the Flash group, it drives me insane. Like when, for example, like when Barry was stuck in the mirror and then, what's Killer Frost's name on the show?
Caitlin.
Yeah, when she just freezes the mirror and then it breaks and he gets out. If that happened on Arrow, fucking Felicity would have plugged the mirror into her computer somehow and got him out.
Where's the USB port?
Like, it's that absurd.
It's one of those smart mirrors.
this full-length mirror's got to have Ethernet.
Yeah, I was just beside myself. And, like, on the Invasion episode with the supermassive crossover, and they're like, oh, she's like, if only I had some alien tech, then I could hack it and we could free them. And I just was ready to lose my shit. I think it is so absurd how they're able to just hack into everything in the whole world and make it easier for our heroes. It is the worst crutch in storytelling I've ever seen in my entire life.
It seems to be like the superhero crutch, though. Like, all superhero shows have a hacker now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not enough that this fucker guy can run across the world in, like, half a second. He's got to have, like, a hacker on his team, too. And, you know, the Arrowverse, you know, it doesn't matter how good a shot I am. I got to make sure that Felicity can hack an elevator.
Right. And the funny thing is, at least with Flash, they're just giving more people powers on the show to get away with stuff. And I almost prefer that over her being able to just hack into anything.
Yeah.
There's one point when she's on, like, a little iPad, and she's, like, looking up somebody. Oh, I just hacked into Argus's little database, and it turns out that this person did such and such and such. And she did it in, like, 8 seconds. It doesn't make any sense. It is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. And I hate that I'm complaining about it.
I hated that they broke him up. I'm like, ugh.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I
get everyone hated, like, Alicity, like, in the last season, but, like... Like, they broke up for, like, stupid reasons. Like, it wasn't even, like, a good reason.
It was that he didn't tell her that he had a kid. And then she has this whole relationship with this other guy, this policeman, and she's lying to him the whole time. For, like, 8 episodes, she's lying to this man about what she's doing each night. And it is the same goddamn thing that she was doing with Oliver. Oh. You know, they have the secret. She can't be mad at Ollie for keeping secrets if she's going to straight up be lying to her new boyfriend. It was so dumb.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the crossover was crazy, though, when Flash had to, like, admit to, like, Diggle that he had a daughter, not a son.
Yeah.
All these other people are like, what the fuck did you do? You traveled in time? What?
Yeah. I know. And that's another thing, too, with time travel. Now I'm led to believe that no matter what they do, something can always be changed or fixed or rewritten, so there's no real... There might be a consequence in the moment, but not long-term, and that upsets me.
Hey, you might have just finished this season, see if your hypothesis stands up.
Yeah, I'm getting there. So I am watching it because Flash airs the night before Arrow, so I'm watching Flash, then Arrow, then Flash, then Arrow, then Flash, then Arrow, taking turns. And then when there was the Invasion episode, it was a 3-part crossover with Legends of Tomorrow, and I never finished it. Sorry.
That's all right. It wasn't that great. Technically, it crossed her with Supergirl, but only in as much as the last 2 seconds of Supergirl are Cisco and Barry jumping over to her Earth saying, hey, we need your help.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I watched this whole terrible show for that.
Yeah, at the end?
Yeah.
Which they showed in Flash.
Yes. Previously on Supergirl.
Yeah.
I'm like, son of a bitch.
So, whatever. I mean, I am enjoying myself. I know Randy is at the halfway point with the shows as well, so I think I'm on episode 12 of both Flash and Arrow now. But that's over the course of, like, the last 2 days. I've been binge-watching the shit out of these shows, and it was pretty cool that they just ended and they're already on Netflix.
Yeah, because usually they don't do that till, like, right before it comes back.
Yeah, like in October. Up. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I'm grateful because Comic-Con's coming up, so now I have something to talk about. But then I did... After you twisted my arm a little bit, I did go ahead and get the CW app, which is on my Xbox, and I've been able to watch.
Oh, you did you?
Yeah, because I've been able to watch the originals. So that's exciting. I'm all caught up on the originals. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I got away with murder this time.
So you're halfway through both seasons?
Yes. Or do you watch... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm halfway through all the DC TV stuff right now.
I mean, how is
Supergirl and Legends? I like Legends. It's got kind of a goofy cast, but I'm a big fan of Brandon Routh. It's got the guys from Prison Break in it.
I like Snart. I mean,
yeah,
he meets an unfortunate end at a certain point, but
he comes back because they're time traveling. So they're you know, he even though he may be dead from the future forward, doesn't mean that him from the past can't come in and interact with them. You know what I mean? It's weird. Yeah. But they found a way to bring him back. So
spoil.
I don't know. It happened.
He shows up in an episode of Flash. But it wasn't like he was brought back to life by that time. Like, it was past Snart.
Yeah. I don't know. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's fun. It's silly. The cast is fun. It doesn't take itself seriously, which I think is its biggest bonus. Now, it was, at least for the first season, it was like the biggest budget of all the DC TV shows. And they're kind of toning it down a little bit. They're not jumping to as many different time periods. They're not doing as many shots of the spaceship kind of like going through space or whatever, you know, they're space and time, whatever. They're not really spending a whole lot of money on the visual effects. They're trying to tell, they're steering towards more personal stories, which is nice. But it also keeps costs down. I don't know. I enjoy it still so far.
Yeah. And but I think both seasons are on Netflix now.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I wouldn't mind watching that. And so,
there's this one bounty hunter character that they always refer to as Boba Fett. Nice. So that's kind of cool.
When you get to the musical episode of Flash, you can just skip it. There's no bearing on anything else.
That was the last one that I watched. I don't know what episode number that was, but I did already see that one.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you only got a couple left. That was like episode like 17 or something?
No, really?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong. It could be earlier on in the teens, but yeah.
I know I'm at least a month behind, so I'd say 3 or 4 episodes of each show, probably.
Nice. Savitar.
Okay, cool. So what do you think of Malfoy so far?
I love him.
Oh, man, I love him to death.
Fantastic. Yeah. Especially when he joins the team and he's just got no bedside manner.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying seeing him in a role other than just playing a dick, you know. Uh-huh. Even though he does start out kind of as a dick in Flash, but I really enjoy his character.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah. Over the Memorial Day weekend, there was a Harry Potter like marathon on like some channel called like Freeform, and after all 7 movies, they'd play like other like Harry Potter things, and he did a documentary like a year or two ago called. Where basically he went around like reading like super fans, like trying to figure out like he's got like this one like middle-aged fan who like worships him and like waits in line for hours to like meet him like wherever he goes. And so he wanted to like get in like the mindset of like what do these people want to get out of it? And so he like went around the country and like interviewed all these different people. And he's got interviews with like J.K. Rowling. He's got an interview with, you know, all the cast members, not Emma Watson, but with Daniel Radcliffe, with Rupert Grint. And it's actually really good. It's like an hour and a half. Definitely worth checking out if you ever run across it. Hey, you guys got anything else you want to talk about?
Goonies, 1 year, or what, anniversary? I said 1 year.
32 years.
32 years, yeah. It's impressive.
Triple shuffle.
Happy birthday to the Goonies.
Yeah.
They don't make them like that anymore.
They don't. You mean good? Movies suck. Every movie today sucks.
Everything sucks. Wow, rubble, rubble, rubble.
That's the worst.
You're starting to sound like Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, man.
They're not welcome back on the Sony lot. Every movie sucks.
I'll have your badge. Well, that's all. You got anything, Randy?
I got nothing.
Oh, early reviews of Mummy are in, and it's dog shit.
Not good.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We'll that's unfortunate.
It's not doing well with the critics.
We'll let Randy go watch that one over the weekend, and he can tell us all about it.
I probably will.
Oh, it's a 26. burn.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Make sure you go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. And whilst there, listen to the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Stephen K. James talking about video games. And I'm sure they'll have some pre-E3 coverage this week. And next week, they'll have a shitload of E3 coverage because there's going to be some cool shit coming out of there. Nintendo's going to blow it away. Sony's going to blow it away. Microsoft's going to blow it away. Everyone's going to blow it away. We're going to get some great announcements, and it's going to be awesome. But until next time, talk to you guys later.